In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, we've made this our theme for reporting this year. Because we've been in the work for 45 years in the Pacific, beginning in Fiji many years ago because of Dan Jenkins. But we thought this would be an appropriate theme. Forgetting those things that are behind, you can't do anything about those things that happened yesterday. But you can reach forward to those things that are before you, and you can press toward the goal that is in Jesus Christ. Now, in 1973, really I went in 72, I couldn't get it off my mind. 1973, we went back to Fiji, and within a very few years, we begin a method of mission work that is as old as the first century. We were going to use from the beginning the indigenous approach. We were going to carry the gospel, plant congregations that would finally become indigenous congregations. It is a process. And we started. And in about 2 years, two and a half years, we had planted already a number of congregations that are growing, and they're growing spiritually and numerically. And then one day I said to Mary, "Do you realize, sweetheart, that between Honolulu and Indonesia and the Philippines, New Zealand, Australia down under, way down under, and all the way to Japan, we're the only missionary family?" Now, there is a preacher in the church in Guam, because it's a military congregation, and the gospel has never been carried to all these 22 countries in the Pacific. "We're going to do it." She said, "You hadn't lost your mind, have you?" I said, "No, I haven't, Mary. We're going to do it with God's help. We're going to carry the gospel. We're going to sow the seed. And we're going to duplicate what we have done in the Fiji Islands." And so we begin to see the opportunity. It only took me about 2 years to see that opportunity that is in the Pacific Islands. And then we began to pray about it. I'd already started praying about it. Mary and I began every day, we would begin the day with a part of our prayer life being carrying the gospel to every country in the Pacific with God's help. And we knew that it would be with the help of others as well. And then we started to plan. I knew that it had worked in Fiji. I knew that we sow the seed, we plant the church, and from day one we begin to talk about you need to reproduce yourself, govern yourselves, and support yourselves. And we knew that that would work, so we begin to really think seriously, because we're going to take on an undertaking that had never been taken before in the largest area of the world God has created. And so we begin to plan for that. And then we started to prepare ourselves. Mary and I begin to talk to the children and say that this will require Dad being gone and then us all being gone at times outside of Fiji. But the children said, "This is our home, Mama. We don't want to leave our home." Well, you can understand children. So we continued to talk and discuss it, and we started to really plan. I do not believe in the shotgun method being effective. I believe that you need a plan. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And so we began to plan and prepare ourselves for that. About that time, one of our elders came, and the preacher at the church at Forest Park in Atlanta, and I shared this with the elder, and he said, "You know, let me get back with the other elders while I'm here." And so he got back with the other elders. They said, "Johnny, turn him loose." Not Johnny Davis, Johnny Maynard. So they said, "Turn him loose with it. He's going to do it." And so John said, "You got the green light. But I want to ask you one question." And he said, "Here's the question. You've heard it. Do you know how to eat an elephant?" Oh, I said, "Johnny, you know I'm a Crimson Tide. Those elephants come out of that tunnel every Saturday afternoon. And I know how to eat an elephant one bite at a time." I won't be trying to eat the entire elephant all at one time. I'll do it one bite at a time. And we'll get this job done with God's help. And also I'll tell you about others as well. And then we started. And we started with God's help, trying to carry the gospel and going with the gospel, sowing the seed. And don't you know, if we sow the seed, we're going to plant the church. Don't you believe that? Well, God does, and because God does, I do, and I believe that it could be done. Now, this was a great undertaking. Largest area of the world God has created. It is made up of 22 countries, and it is made up of 30,000 islands. That time, about 5.5 million people. Today, it exceeds that, but we started. We knew that God was on our side, and that with God's help, if we planned it well and did not bite off more than we could eat at a time, we'd get this job done. It would demand perseverance. It would demand intestinal fortitude. It just really demanded a lot to get the job done. And so we started. Now, God is really blessed. Here's a wonderful thing, brethren. You know, we have TV programs. We have had radio programs forever. And some of you may know about the more recent development Brother Randy English does in that area. But we had them long ago, and they're still going on. And we have used many tools, but there are some tools, they may improve, but the basic tool is there. Well, there is this tool of tract distribution and enrolling people in Bible correspondent courses. It's effective. You know, the printed page can go where we've never been. Printed page does not need a passport. Printed page does not need a visa work permit. And you'd be surprised how it can go as if it's by the wind. And so some of the most effective means of our getting the gospel to others, evangelizing, is the distribution of tracts. And this has been the result of planting many congregations. One occasion, a tract went from our house, 45 Kanavi Street in Somamula, Fiji, went all the way to Vanuatu, and before I ever got to that location, one man that had been first baptized by a missionary in Papua New Guinea because of a tract, he had already baptized about 10 or 12 people before any white man ever got there. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Before I ever got there. Anybody else got there? But we also use a lot of Bible correspondence. We're still actively involved in this. I could place an ad in a newspaper, and in 3 or 4 weeks of just putting it there one time a week on a Saturday, we could have 120 Bible correspondent course students. Isn't that wonderful? Who are actively taking courses. But we have thousands. And so we do a lot of, at the same time we are distributing the gospel by tracts distribution, tract packet. We enroll people in free Bible correspondent courses. And then also, the last few years, we've been using house to house and heart to heart very effectively. We have special editions that are done for the brethren in locations. And brethren said, Robert, you made a big mistake. You underestimated it. It's not like you. I said, well, I didn't want to waste money. They said, you know better than with us. You sent 500. We need 1,000 of them every time you have them done. And so this has become an effective tool. Let me just mention here, and oh, how typical this is. You know, brethren, you don't see me baptizing many. Sometimes I have to beg for them to let me baptize somebody I teach if they're brethren already there. No, I don't really. I don't really do that. But they do give me the opportunity, and I still love doing it. Although my work is to carry the gospel, sow the seed, plant the church. And you know, every one of these, and it just happened, I didn't even realize it till the other day. Every one of these that are baptizing in the Melanesian Islands, the Polynesian Islands, and the Micronesian Islands, boy, they're sons in the faith. And isn't it wonderful to see your children grow and develop, and become better than you are in what needs to be done for the Lord? Now, I can only give you a very quick glance at some of the indigenous churches. By no means all of them. By that I mean they reproduce themselves, they govern themselves, and they support themselves, and they are helping plant other congregations. Isn't that wonderful? Whether it be in the Fiji Islands, whether it be in Samoa, all the way to Saipan, the Northern Mariana Islands. Now, in every one of these larger congregations, some run 115, 120, some run about 100, some will run 75 in attendance. But in every one of these congregations, there are men in leadership. And I'll mention more about that later. Not only that, but there are men that are very effective. They could stand and do a lot better job than I'm going to do to preach the gospel this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And I just had a very small part in something that we believe is important, and I'll mention that later. There are congregations in the Melanesian grouping of islands, the Polynesian grouping of islands, and also even in the Micronesian groupings of islands. Now remember, these are just a look at, quick glance at some of the congregations that are indigenous. And I love getting those emails and letters, and I love talking to them and hearing what they are doing. You read our newsletter very carefully, you will see that they are doing many wonderful works. And they're not doing it because I said do it, except teaching them the Word of God. And they're not doing it because I supply them the money or the foot soldier. They're doing it of their own accord. And how wonderful that is, and I'm thankful to God. You know, as you get older, and this is all the honor and glory, and everything I'm going to say, you've got to realize that I am only a servant by which others believe. Please understand that. 1 Corinthians 3 and 5. I am only a servant by which others believe. But what a joy it is to stand next to those that are sons in the faith. And knowing from others what a great job they do as a elder or as a deacon or as a preacher of the gospel. This is just a quick glimpse of some of those that are in the Melanesian Islands, some of those that men that are in the Polynesian Islands. And I could tell a story. Mary said, don't start no telling Malavu, Robert. Now, that's in Fijian. That's don't start telling a long story. On every one of these, I could tell stories for hours and hours. Maybe someday I'm going to be able to come and just tell on Malavu some. Just tell stories and take questions, and that's all I'll do. Maybe God will bless me with that opportunity here at Palm Beach Lake. Again, not only in the Melanesian Islands, Polynesian Islands, and depending upon, brethren, depending on the size of the congregation, there might be two men preaching in the smaller, maybe three men. In the medium to larger congregations, there will be 6, 7, 8, 10 men. None of them are on support. They support themselves as preachers of the gospel. And when the church gets big enough, and if they want someone to be a full-time preacher, the others will say, we thought we were all full-time for the Lord. And I do love it. I do love it. These men are some of the ones in the Micronesian Islands. Now, if you in reading our newsletter, let me go ahead and say now, can I go ahead and say it now? That if you do not get our newsletter, don't ask me to do it digitally. That's just another work. Because, and if we send it to you digitally, you're going to get it on the computer and you're going to have to glare at that computer or print it off. Why not just let us send it? If you don't get our newsletter, now's your opportunity. I'm going to say, and I haven't even asked her, June Peck, will you take their request, please? Just give your name and address with a zip code, and we will make sure you have the newsletter. Now, if you'll read the newsletter carefully, you'll see special projects. You know, a while back, we were running very low on tracks. We usually keep thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And we were down to the last few tracks of all the tracks we offer, which is about 12, 15 titles. We've written them through the years ourselves. They are very appropriate for the Pacific Islands. Then we do a lot of shipping of materials. And we print songbooks in the Fijian language, the Tongan language, the Samoan language, the Marshallese language, and the Kiribati language. And this is the fourth time we've printed the Fijian songbook. You know, like I said, a while back, the elders here said, Robert, do you have a project that we could help with? You know what? You poured your hearts out. And if you ever go on our website, our PIBC website, that is attached to your website, then you'll be able to see exactly. You fill those bins up with tracks. Now, here's the thing. I noticed the other day, we are getting low in one or two areas. And we thank God. What a great help you. We have many projects we do. And then there are special occasions, opportunities, where we will assist. We never build their buildings for them, but we will assist them. And depending upon the congregation and where it is and who it is, I even have a document that I get them to sign. And the brethren moan and groan about the document. And I say, if you want the help, you sign the document. One of the things is in the document, a document is that you will carry your building fund account down to zero and give toward this building. And your checking account, you'll carry it down to $200. Now, that ought to help you build it up the next few Sundays again. And so there are certain stipulations. I love the brethren. They moan and groan sometimes a little bit. But they know that if they want some help, if they can't do it, first thing we want to know is, can you do it yourself? Or is there an older congregation around you that can come? Have you asked them? Why are you asking me if you haven't asked? I don't have to say that no more. They'll just grin at me. They'll just grin. And I love it when they do it because they know what I'm going to say. So we have many special projects. And then there are, this again is just a quick glimpse of some of the younger congregations. Not all the younger. These are just touching the hem of the garment. There are many more. But these are just what I felt like I could cover. I want you to see where they're meeting and how they look. In the Melanesian Islands and in the Polynesian Islands and in the Micronesian Islands. You know, first time when I carried Josh Blackmer with me, he went with me. After that, I went with him. Because of the language, and then on that first trip, I was like an owl. My head was doing a 360. And I was watching his mannerism. I was watching the way he approached people. And I just love Josh and Carl. I'm telling you, they're diligent workers. They love the people of Easter Island, and they are diligent and they are beautiful as you see them work. It's been my opportunity, my blessing, not long ago to go back again. And I had to remind Josh,
I am with you, and you take the lead. I'm a follower on this occasion. He said, but you've got to promise me one thing. If you see something that you feel like that can be helpful, please share it. We have a beautiful relationship. You know, I also must mention the church building up on the left-hand side. They had not finished this building. They poured the concrete floor. It sat there for about 2 years. And then they built some of the walls, columns. Then they sit there for about another 2 years. Then they put the roof on it. Now they even have walls on it and a door. I don't know how many years they've been working on this building. I'm going to let them work on it. Because they want to, and they're able to do it in their own time. I'm going to tell you, and I'm glad he's gone, where I can say it. Josh is just a kind and loving and a very wise young man for his age, and a diligent worker in the kingdom of God. And I am glad that he is my brother. Carla is my sister. I just pray for that. And I thank God for it. And that you will keep up the good work that you are again blessing us with in that work in Rapa Nui, Easter Island. Now, 21 years ago, we began another process. The brethren in other countries, such as Solomons, Vanuatu, Western Samoa, American Samoa, and other places, had said, why do the Fijian brethren, why are they more able, capable, and talented? We think it's because of the school you ran for all the years you lived there. We need a school like that for the Pacific. And so again, I begin to pray about it, and I begin to plan for it, and I think that I've got it worked out, and it didn't look like it would work. One thing was paramount. I did not want to rob the indigenous approach. I did not want to take, and if it didn't work, it didn't work, and I wasn't going to do it. I did not want to put men on support. I wanted the local churches to, if they so decided, to support those men when they wanted to. Don't rob them of that opportunity and challenge. And so, for about 10 years, Mary finally asked me one day, are you going to ever start this school? And I said, in time, Mary, when I work it through in my mind. And so we started it, where we would carry the courses and the instructors to the people in the Pacific. And you know about that because of your brother Dan McLeod going with me often. And so we started. We started with 24 courses, and today we are at, what is it? I can't even see it. 31? Yeah, we're at 31 courses. Some of them were necessary to add to it. And not only that, but we are teaching in the classroom. We have our own filming studio we've built back in Atlanta where we film our own courses. We've already got 24 of the 31, only the newer ones since 2014 have we not got yet on the DVDs. We started with duplicating them on the video, and boy, well, that was expensive, about $70 to send one course, mailing. And so when we were able to switch over to DVD, it cut it to about $26 to send one course. Won't be long till we're going to put them on a flash drive, every one of them. And it'll be a lot more economical. But we teach in the classroom, carrying the courses and the instructors to them. Now you know what that does. We never take them out of their homeland. We never take them out of the country they are from. We never take them away from being continually useful in the local church where they serve. When I first started mapping out the school, this is what we intended. A school located will never have over 20, 25 students. Government regulations, expenses,
robbing the indigenous approach, putting me in own support. What are you going to do? You're going to take them out of a job they have? What are you going to do when they go back? You're going to supply all the money of all the students you have in the school? What are you going to do? You took them out. You took them out of their job. That there are probably 75 to 100 people waiting to get that job, and that person will never get it back again. And so we take the courses to them in a classroom using the church buildings or the buildings where the brethren meet in every place. We offer courses by DVD, like I said, 24 of the 31, and also by correspondence. Because we've got brethren that can't afford a DVD, and I'm not going to start buying. Don't say you'll buy them for them. No, don't do it. Because once you open that can of worms, they'll want you to build their house then and a lot of other things. Do the absolute necessary things. Let them do these other things. And so we do offer courses, and there are congregations and Christians that live in locations where there is no electricity. So because of that, we also offer it by correspondence. What are we doing? We are teaching, we are training, and we are maturing, and they never have to leave their home congregation. Never have to leave it. You know, many years ago, I thought about something. What's wrong with our brotherhood? Why aren't we carrying the gospel to every nation, every island, every country, every town, every city, every village? You ever thought about it? Serious, isn't it? I mean, this is a very serious... Have we done that? Have we done that? And here's what I got to thinking. What we need to do is, listen to me carefully. Are you listening? We need to teach them. We need to train them. We need to trust them. And we need to turn them loose. You ever thought how Paul felt when he left Corinth? You ever thought how he left? How he felt when he left? And so we need to teach them and train them and trust them and turn them loose. And we are doing that in different locations. Now, one of the wonderful things is this, that as we teach and train, edify and equip, every time the calendar turns 12 months, we will teach over 550 Christians in the area of teaching and training and equipping, edifying and equipping. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? If we had started a located school, built a campus and maintained that campus, and done all of that, we'd have never had over 20 or 25 students in the school. We know the regulations of governments in the Pacific. And we know the cost. And we know how it could be very detrimental to the spiritual and numerical growth. We are very thankful that we run usually 25 or 30 or even more instructors. And your brother Dan McLeod is one of those faithful, continuous instructors. He is a close friend, and you would know that from my writings in the newsletter. And I will not say much more about that. We just have a wonderful relationship together. He does a wonderful, beautiful job in relating culturally, customs, and in every way to the local people. And always a servant of the Lord. Always a servant of the Lord. Always wanting to do more. Now listen to this. Every month, we've got people that are graduating. And you know, sometimes I want it to be bigger and more. I'm never satisfied, never satisfied. I want to be bigger and more because I know more people are reaching the end result. And here's what these Pacific Islanders tell me. Robert, you need to remember that it's more important that we have it here than a piece of paper. Does that make sense? Yeah, it does. They're able to do it. We're able to teach them, train them, trust them, and then turn them loose to do God's work. And we're thankful to God that we can. Men that, what are we doing in Pacific Islands Bible College? We're training men to be teachers and preachers. We're training men to become elders, and elders are being appointed in churches. And that's now a continual, nearly a continual process. Now, between each one can be some time, but it's something that PIBC has contributed toward because we have a course on church leadership and the elders and deacons. Very important to the church. And then Mary, boy, she's a sweetheart, telling you what. Told the other day, you're the most beautiful thing God ever put on this earth. She said, listen, you need to have your glasses changed. I'm getting older, Robert. I said, I didn't say older. I just said, you're the most beautiful person. You know, you need to be in love with your spouse. If you've been married to them 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, doesn't matter. You need to love them and you need to really care about them. She's a diligent worker, and I love it when she's not with me. It's a little bit harder when she is. And you know, for 33 years, she had no limitations. And because of Maria's health being so, it is really bad. Marie's health is really bad. Mary's not able to go with me at this time. She always desires to go and wants to go. When I'm about to leave, I have to be careful what I say and so forth. But for 33 years, she started training. All the days going back to Fiji, our first workshop, Dan, she taught the women that first workshop. Dan and Ronald Coleman came up in New Zealand. And 33, the other day, I think it's been a month ago, it just seemed like yesterday, I started counting, these are just Bible school teachers, and that she had taught and trained them as Bible school teachers and teachers that could teach other women. I stopped counting at 65. I said, I'm tired. There's no use going on. And because of Mary's work, and she's still very actively, the other day we were discussing the work, and she said, I want to take it. I said, no, sweetheart, I'll do that, and you don't have to take it. She said, Robert, I want it. And then she began this dissertation about why I ought to give it to her. Man, it was like she was up in the podium, behind the podium. And she got on a preaching with me, and she took off. And I said, man, she must have been eating white chocolate or drinking Cokes with sugar in it. What's going on? And I was going to take it. I said, no, you can have it. Here it is. Will you stop talking? But she is still a very diligent servant of the Lord. These are just a glimpse of all. I can only cover so much in a presentation. But now, there are grandmothers, mothers, granddaughters that have come a result of her work. You know, if we work toward others, edifying, equipping, training them, there will never be an end to the work we do. What we do for God in those areas, whether it be at Palm Beach Lakes or whether it be in the Pacific, it will never end. Now, what are the challenges ahead? Populations are increasing. The island brethren believe in repopulating the earth and obeying the first command of Genesis. And I said, do you not know about birth control? To the men one day in a class on the home, Christian home, they said, yes, we do. Our fathers taught us to plant children like coconut trees, and we plant coconut trees a lot. I said, well, okay, go to it. I ain't got no more about that. That's enough about that. But not only that, but there is also always a increasing in the population of the Pacific. And then there are areas where we need to carry the gospel to yet. There's islands, villages, towns, and cities. And there are more of them that we need to plant the church on. And then there is the continual process of teaching them, training them, trusting them, and turning them loose. And so these are the challenges before us. We're thankful to God for these challenges. But we believe that we can meet the challenge. Romans 12 and 11, fervent in spirit. By giving all diligence, as Peter wrote, and also knowing that our God will supply what we need. You know, through the years, as we would carry the gospel to a country that did not speak English, I would wonder, how are we going to get this done? Then I'd think, oh, wait a minute, pray to God about it, and He'll supply the workers. When we carried the gospel to New Caledonia and was from Futuna, I started praying, and God started supplying. And now we have an abundance of workers to that French country. So God will supply these things. But we never lose sight of our goal of the indigenous method. We never lose sight of it. It's always there. It's a part of our lives every day when we wake up. Carry the gospel, sow the seed, plant the church, and from day one teach them to reproduce themselves and to govern themselves and to support themselves. I believe that victory lies ahead. Maybe not in my lifetime, but if God lets this old world stand long enough, I believe that victory lies ahead. And the younger generations will see and they will reap the results. They'll put the icing on the cake and they'll see the victory that we have. But to do that, we need your help. And I want to say to the elders and the congregation here, what a very close co-worker that you are to us. And I want to say to the elders, thank you for being that diligent, faithful co-workers with us. I know that the elders always allow the baskets to be put in the back. Think about the work when you leave this morning. If you make a check out, make it out to Palm Beach Lakes. And where it says for, you could say Robert Martin Funds or whatever. I'll let the elders or one of the preachers say something more about that if it needs to be said. We thank you for your love, and for your care, and for your prayers, and for your support. And remember, if you don't get the newsletter, give June Peck your name and address with a zip code. It doesn't cost us any more to send it. We have a bulk mailing permit or individual mailing permit. It costs no more. Thank you for listening to me this morning. Give this report. And all the honor and glory and praise goes to our Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Thank you very much.